I have
current geek.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Current Geek, the weekly proceedings of the meetings of the Frog Pants All Stars. Geeks of the world and you to keep you current on all things that matter most. It's me, Scott Johnson, with the one, the only, the Tom Merritt.
Scott Johnson, we've been away too long. I feel like weekends didn't even happen because we didn't kick them off with Current Geek.
I know, and we didn't hardly, I mean, we saw each other last week at BlizzCon, but the listeners didn't. They didn't know we were there. So
no, we were kicking it, eating wraps in the press room.
Yeah, that was fancy. We got, they have a nice spread. None of it's very warm after a little while, yeah, but...
No. You know,
it's free.
They do their best.
It's free.
Yeah.
What are you
going to
do?
Yeah, I'm not complaining.
Yeah, but it's good to see you again. Good to be back on the show and doing stuff proper. We have a couple of guests with us tonight who know a thing or two about what it's like to be in the ring. We're going to start with Martin Kasous. I said it right, right? Kasous.
Oh, man. Every single time.
I got it close. He is wrestling right here in Salt Lake City. This weekend, are you? Is it this one you're going to be wrestling?
Yep, I'm going to be wrestling here in Salt Lake City tomorrow, and then in Colorado Springs the day after that.
Dude, that's
and
awesome.
And Mexico the weekend after that.
That's super cool. Well, here you and I are sharing the same sky. It's great to have you on the show. Also with us, a return guest to the show. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him. It's Joey Image, all the way from New York. What's going on?
New Jersey. New York.
I always say New York because you're always hanging out there. It's fine.
That's right.
Kasous and New Jersey.
Scott. Old for two, man.
Yeah.
Old for
yeah,
two.
Yeah, there you go.
Kasous and New Jersey.
You know, this journalism stuff, it's hard. It's hard to keep all my facts
I'm
straight.
I'm good, man. How y'all doing?
Doing great, man. It's good to have you on. I was remarking before the show, Joey was controlling his lights with his phone, and I don't know what it is that makes me laugh about a big, tough pro wrestler controlling lights with his phone, but it delights
me. You know
what's
the con of that, though, is if my phone battery dies or something, there's no on-off switch. They're only controlled via Bluetooth.
Oh, that's no good. That's no good.
I haven't found a way around that
yet. Yeah, and you're afraid of the dark, so it's a bad problem, everybody.
I'm retired now, so I'm no longer in the ring. I don't have to be tough no more.
That's true. Take care of yourself. All right, well, let's dive right in. We got some news stories and fun stuff to talk about. Here we go.
Herbert Hoover, Secretary of Commerce in 1922, finds infant radio facilitates news gathering, as do many others in high public office.
Tom, what do we got?
Well, Nintendo began selling its NES Classic Edition miniature game console today. Many outlets sold out quickly. In fact, almost all of them sold out real quickly. In fact, Joey will tell you, they sold out way too quickly here in a minute. Nintendo said a steady flow of additional systems will be coming through the holiday season, so it'll come back in stock at all of these outlets and then go out of stock again. Ars Technica notes that the $60 console is already available on eBay for an average of $183.52. This is a smaller edition of the NES, comes with an HDMI connection and 30 preloaded games.
Yeah, no cartridge slot. You can't add more games to it. At least they have, you know, someone's going to hack and do some weird stuff to it, but that isn't coming that way out of the box intentionally. I tried to get one on Amazon. It immediately said, add one to cart. I said, add one. It said, oh, there's been an error. I said, all right, well, I'll refresh and try that again. I refreshed and it said, we're sorry. These are gone. We don't have these now. So they went so fast. It was literally a F5 refresh between the time they had them and when they didn't for me. Is anybody here? I mean, I know obviously I'm not unique because everybody seems to want one of these and they're in huge demand, but anybody else here as excited as I am about this nostalgic, for
yes,
whatever reason, worth spending $50 item? Joey, tell me why you want one of these.
Oh, yes, dude. I went to GameStop this morning. I went to, I think I only went to GameStop, but I have nowinstock.net, which is like, it updates a bunch of websites for online stores. I have that on. I have got a 65-inch TV over here as one display, and I've got a regular monitor. I've got it going on both. I have it on my phone. I did the Amazon thing. I got the same thing you did, but I got add to cart. It said, okay. It said one item in cart. I click on the cart. It says, your cart's empty.
Yep.
So it's basically a big F you to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Apparently Amazon hates wrestlers. I don't understand.
Yeah, they have it out for you specifically. Jeff Bezos has been on record to say.
I went to GameStop this morning. Here's a little story for you. I went to GameStop. They open usually at 10 o'clock. I went in there at 10, no line. So I got there about 1:45, and I figured, all right, there's no line. I'm in. I'm going to go in, grab one. I'm good to go. Mm-hmm. I get in, and I called first to see if what time they're open just to make sure. 10 o'clock, okay. So I go in, and the guy said, yeah, we sold out about 15 minutes ago. I said, how do you sell out something at 9:45 that you're not selling until 10? He said, well, we got here to open the store, and there were people waiting outside, so we just opened at 9:30 and let them buy them. Mm. I go, really? But you're not advertised till 10 o'clock, so now I'm SOL because I'm going based on your website telling me 10, and you just on a whim decided to open up a half hour early.
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, I understand the whole customer service thing, and there's people outside waiting and whatever, but hey, if the rest of the world's going to wait till 10, why do these 10 or 15 people, you know, why are they so special?
This sounds like they're out to get you. Martin, you're clearly a man of the Nintendo generation. Is this an item that you cared to rush out and try to nab before the rest of the world got it?
I am going to get it. I did not go try to get it this morning because I never get to play. But my Nintendo 64 is still hooked up. My Xbox is hooked up. My PlayStation is hooked up. My regular Nintendo is hooked up still on my TV. All five of them hooked up. I got my Wii hooked up. I'm a geek.
Ah, dude, you've got it going. So that's sweet. You don't and okay, now you actually said something I wanted this to bring this up here. You got all this old stuff already working, and you can hook it up and play anytime you want to. Pop a cartridge in and you're back at being 8 years old again or whatever you need. Why do you want one of these? Like, why do I want one? Why do any of us want one? What is it about?
Why do so many people want them that it's going out of stock like yeah. that?
The hardware.
Yeah, you think it's the hardware, Joey?
It's the hardware.
Yeah, because I got a lot of people on my Facebook that were like, why don't you just, you know, get an emulator, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, look, I have an emulator on both my laptops, on my PC. I have 3 Raspberry Pis. I have a Retron, and I have 2 working NESs, original ones. Yeah. I just want this little cool box, man. It just looks cool.
Yeah.
I don't care that it's, you know, it's not the game. It's not about the games for me. It's about adding this little cool box to my collection that just looks awesome.
Yeah, I agree. Tom, where are you at with it? You try to get one?
I did not. I went for the Atari when they came out with the joystick, and then I realized that I was going to play that thing once and then never go back to it. That's just me. I'm not judging anyone.
I still want one of those. I didn't get one.
I just know
I'm judging you now.
Yeah, well, that's fine. That's totally fair. But I've got the gavel, so just remember that. No, I just know that I will waste my time. So I'm going to wait for a friend of mine to get it, and then I'm going to borrow it, play it the one time, and have fun with it, and hand it over to them.
All right, well.
I'm going to borrow it and give it back.
Tom, can we be friends then? You want to just go ahead and buy it and give me friends? And I'll be your friend.
I'm going to have you buy it, then I'd be your friend, and then I can borrow it from
you.
I see how it works.
Way less.
You make a good point, Tom, and I think I should probably be thinking that way. And part of me is like, Scott, you don't need it. You don't need it. You have a billion ways to do these things. You've played them all before, and you're going to do something sad like fire up balloon fight and go, oh, this isn't nearly as good as my brain thinks it is. So I part of me is like, don't waste the $50, but I can't help it. I gotta have that cool little thing. I gotta have that controller in my hand again. I just gotta do it. So I'm glad to hear Nintendo. The original rumors were, a lot of talk early on was that this was a one run thing. They were gonna make a certain amount, and that's all it was gonna be. And I don't remember where I even got that information. So when I heard these were all sold out, I'm like, that is a big fat bummer.
Can I just cut in really quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm curious as to where the $138 average came from, because I looked on eBay today. I saw 2 for 10 grand. I saw 2 for 5 grand and several that are over 300. I didn't see anything under.
Well, I mean, people are insane. Ars Technica posted this earlier today, so the price may have shot up since they posted it, for sure.
But I can't imagine someone listing it at 5 or 10 grand thinking it's actually going to sell. I can't.
All right. No. Well, if they had truly created an actual artificial scarcity here and said we really are only doing this run, then
a year and then sell it for 20.
Sure,
grand.
Sure.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure,
but I can't.
But
see
if they're making this much money already,
right out of the gate, I think they should keep making.
Do they get to count these in their console sales figures?
I'll bet they do.
Of course.
I'll bet they do. I mean, the news.
It's a new SKU.
Sure, but there's news this week of two things happening at Nintendo. This being finally out and available for people to buy, and the other news was they stopped production on the Wii U finally. So why not? Trip up your numbers a little bit by counting.
These are more popular, right?
That's
pretty funny.
Yeah. Anyway. I got a couple heartwarming stories here. Someone who goes by the name The Bushido Viking posted on the Overwatch subreddit about meeting a Tracer cosplayer at BlizzCon from Overwatch, Tracer, having a great time, then forgetting to ask for contact info. So he's hoping the community on subreddit could help put him in touch. It seems to have caught the imagination of many who consider it adorable. A few worry it could be a little stalkerish. So the Bushido Viking wrote, "People seem to think I need this person in my life for some reason. Truthfully, I don't. I have the internet as a resource to possibly talk to someone who seemed like a lot of fun. If I don't find them, my life is no different than it was before, people. I never thought people would find this sweet to any degree. So I appreciate all of you wonderful people."
Okay, so what that comes down to is, how do I put this? The internet, just don't tell the internet. Don't ask them for help. Like, I am with this guy. He met somebody. It happens at cons. I met people this year, a couple of whom I wish I would have found out what their Twitter handles were or some way of, like, getting back to them. Somebody gave me a really nice gift, and I forgot to ask their name, and I would like to give them credit on a show. I totally get this idea. I don't think this is some dude that was hunting around for a hot tracer somewhere in Anaheim and didn't get what he needed. I think this is probably a very nice, innocent thing. It is a place of gathering and of meeting and of creating new friendships and relationships. So the problem here is that it went viral, and now people are going to treat him like he's weird. That's my opinion. You guys ever get any stalkers? Not stalkers, but people who are like, "Oh man, Martin, I saw at your match on Friday night. I sure wish I could get in the ring with you sometime," or stuff like that.
Oh my God. I had somebody invite me to go wrestle. I said, "Where's the closest place to you? Where are we going to wrestle?"
Yeah.
"Like, I have a front room." I'm like, "What?" Like, "Do you have..." Then he asked to buy my socks and my dirty underwear. So yeah, I've had some crazy things.
Yeah, I imagine so. I mean, neither of you are necessarily John Cena, but I have to imagine, like, Joey, you've had, you know, people like you guys. They like watching you wrestle, and they wanna get a piece of the Joey.
I've had a couple that were not female that was, I thought was kind of weird, but
yeah,
they're never female.
I've gotten the used tights thing before. Hey, I'll give you a couple bucks for these. Whatever. I don't know.
Wow.
I know what you're talking about.
Really? They want used wrestling stuff. That's the truth. Is that real?
Yeah. Okay. There's like a thing for that. Like, I don't know if there's like a fetish or whatever, but there's a market for people buying stuff. I see there's a market for people buying that stuff from women, but there's from guys too.
All right. Well, listen, I did have somebody once, Tom, maybe you and I can commiserate about this, but I had some, he took off, but I'll tell you this guy's story anyway. I think his dog's barking. I had somebody offer me $20 for this microphone cover that I have here, this little microphone shield. And this guy said he wanted to put it in glass, label it, like put a little plaque there and say, you know, "My favorite podcaster's stupid windscreen thing." And I thought to myself, I just don't think I want to get into the habit or business of exchanging things like money for microphone screens. So that never happened. But that's as close as I can relate to what you guys are talking about.
But that's the equivalent of like, "Hey, Martin, can I buy your boots?" Like, you know, "Can I buy your tights?" Or, "Hey, Joe, can I have your shirt, you know, right, that you're wearing, your sweaty shirt?" Because yeah, I'm a fat guy. I always worked with a shirt on.
Yeah.
So, you know, if that's the equivalent, you know. Wrestler tights, podcaster microphone,
whatever.
It's the same thing.
Whatever it takes.
Tom's, it's so weird. So when they ask you not to wash it,
yeah,
I said, "Sure, yeah, I'll give it to you." Yeah, don't wash it though.
Weird.
Yeah, no, that I've had before.
That's freaking weird.
Well, yeah. And bringing it all back, the Bushido Viking is not asking for Tracer to hand over her costume without washing it or anything weird like that.
Yeah,
it's just misconnections. I mean, maybe there just needs to be a better misconnections internet service for this guy.
Misconnections.com. Tom, what are you doing? Let's get on this. Let's make this happen.
It exists.
I was going to say that just really quick, though. I feel like I'm half and half on this, but I feel like if she wanted him to have her contact, he would have it.
Yeah, maybe.
I think that's what he's trying to say.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to say, like,
but it's not, no big deal.
If we just forgot to ask, so if you want, that's cool. If not, no big.
Yeah, that's a good point. However,
Comic-Cons, you meet a lot of people. So I've met a lot of people at Comic-Cons where I'm like, "Oh, I'll see you in like an hour. I'm walking around. I'll come back here in an hour." And they weren't there.
So
it'd be one of those situations where they just weren't there.
That totally could be.
People get swept away by stuff.
Yeah.
Another heartwarming story. 24-year-old Seattle Seahawks linebacker Cassius Marsh needs your help. On Twitter Wednesday, he wrote that someone stole his Magic card collection out of the backseat of his car while his girlfriend had it at a club. He offered two tickets to the next Seahawks home game for their return. No questions asked. In a later post, Marsh ranked his Magic card collection as the fourth most important thing to him after God, family, and football. He even listed the decks that were stolen. I don't know much about Magic decks, but you can go check it out in the Washington Post thing. There's all kinds of descriptions there. Says he's played since he was 11 and estimates his collection to be worth between $20,000 and $25,000. And even Thursday, Wizards of the Coast delivered him a large box full of thousands of cards. Not that that can actually replace, but, you know, it helps make this up.
The time it takes for a true Magic the Gathering aficionado to build their decks and find the right cards. I mean, that game is all about buying packs, opening them, investing a bunch of money, getting lucky with the kinds of cards you need or want, and then holding on to those for dear life. I know people like this who are really into the game. I feel really bad for him. I mean, I don't feel totally bad for him because he's got a really good job and he can probably go buy some of these cards on eBay and be okay. All of that being said, though, it's not cool. Don't steal a guy's Magic cards. That's not cool. You should give them back to him. Those are good seats to the game. No questions asked. It's not like he's going to beat you up, rough you up in the locker room. Just give the tickets back. And I guess that hasn't happened.
He wants his legacy goblin, his modern affinity, his modern UR walkers. He wants them back.
Good Lord. Look at you over there. That was pretty impressive. I mean,
as a wrestler speaking, football's fake.
Football's fake. That's the funniest thing I've heard a wrestler say, actually. That's great.
It's all work.
It is.
You could say, like, you guys actually could say anything is fake, and it's an awesome statement because everyone's always saying how fake wrestling is. Look, here's the thing.
There's
about
some people that don't think I'm joking, though, when I say that. Like, it's a joke. It's
well,
like,
here's
supposed to be kind of like an ironic musing. Like,
here's what I like about wrestling. Here's what I like about what you guys are involved in, and Joey, what you used to be involved in.
I'm still involved. I'm just not in the
sure, league, sure. But this idea that there's this like somewhat theatrical thing happening with these great characters and storylines, that's always been true. And then a lot of people just see that and they think, well, that's it, right? And I remember in the 80s, there seemed to be this feeling like, well, they're trying to fool us into whatever. And I never felt that way. I always just watched it and said, no, wrestling's got, you know, all the drama of a great Shakespearean play, really. The difference is, these guys are freaking athletes with like incredible stamina and crazy endurance, and the things they put their bodies through is amazing to me. And I hate that so many of them die young because of those injuries, and in some cases some have, you know, other stuff that just sort of ails them their entire life, back problems, stuff like that. So mad respect. And I'm not just saying it because you could both beat the crap out of me and Tom with your hands tied behind your back. I'm just saying it because I think it's super cool, man. It's like such a great, like, I don't know. It feels like, I know it's not necessarily an American original, but it feels like this thing that we've cultivated and made and built out to be something that's not just this weird sideshow, but like this genuine form of entertainment and athleticism. And I love it.
You're saying it because you couldn't say my name. You don't know where Joey is. That's why.
Had to do something, right?
I'm still in New Jersey, by the way.
Yeah, good point. All the way in Jersey. But anyway,
I do wish people realized what's all involved in the lifespan shortening this job does to everybody.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
People still think that my broken neck was a fake.
You wish, although, as I'm sure.
Although I've produced my doctor bills and my MRIs, I showed my spine, you know, all that stuff, and it's like, you know, I don't know. It's not a.
Do you run into spine truthers? People are like, yeah, I don't think he broke his thing. does that happen to you?
When I say I damaged my spine, people think that means that I should be in a chair. Like,
oh,
you know, it's not that severe, but enough to need surgery and put me out of wrestling. So it was damaging enough.
Yeah. Are you telling me there's variations of things and not everything is one extreme or another? Is that what you're trying to tell me?
No, everything's cut and dry. Black and white, that's it.
Okay, it's all binary. All right.
Yes, like you see on sitcoms.
All zeros and ones. Oh, yeah, that's real life. Yeah. Reality TV is also real life.
Totally.
Exactly.
No that's offense to Martin, always, who's on a reality show,
on a reality television show, by the way. And people did think when I broke my ankle that was 100% fake.
Remind me, hold on. I forgot all about this. What show are you on?
show called WWE Tough Enough with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I never saw that. Dang it. If I'd have known that, I didn't realize we had like a real celebrity on the show today. Just sorry, Joey. It's not that you aren't, but you know what I mean? Like a TV guy.
No, I'm not. It's okay. Dude, I haven't gotten past the independents. He's been on WWE TV.
No, that's super cool.
Up here, I'm, you know. I don't know. Is DJ the boss at Lucha Underground now or no? I do know DJ.
Oh, yeah. DJ. Yes. Yeah, yeah. He's the head writer. I love that man.
Yeah, I know him. Yeah. Tell him I said hello. He's a good dude.
Can I ask you a question about reality TV that I always ask anyone who comes on the show who's been on a reality TV show? Is it or is it not true that it doesn't matter what the reality show is, they look for who makes good villains and who makes good heroes, and then they just edit accordingly? Is that true? So like,
yeah, totally. I see that.
Okay. Yeah, just curious.
I know I was, when they were first starting off, we were doing those, you know, those in the single rooms where you have to, well, cut away, it says your name under it. Like, I think that this is going on. Mm-hmm. They give you those, like, notes of this and this and this happened. Doesn't that piss you off? Mm. I'm like, no, it doesn't really piss me off. Are you sure this doesn't piss you off?
And say it in a complete sentence.
Exactly.
All right. I always they call it reality TV, but it's, if people are going to be yelling about something being fake, I feel like maybe that's one that ought to get them a little more heat. But
yeah, the reality is, it is television.
There you go. Good point.
Yeah, that's
a good point.
It's reality. Speaking of television, WAB Animation announced production's beginning on the third season of Young Justice. If you don't know the series, it's centered on DC Comics heroes like Robin, Superboy, Artemis, Kid Flash, Miss Martian. So sidekicks or spinoffs. First two seasons aired on Cartoon Network, but WB is not saying where the third season will air. So there's a lot of speculation it might be digital or go to Netflix or something. Mm. Also, The Expanse released a new trailer for season two. The series based on the books by James S.A. Corey returns to sci-fi February 8th.
All right. Now, I wanted to just say, don't forget that you forgot Aqualad.
I didn't name. There's like 12 characters in the series.
That's
so
true. That's true.
All
and you don't have to name them all. But here's the thing I just want to point out. This show, Young Justice, which only made it three seasons and is on Netflix currently. It was originally a Cartoon Network deal. And I hope that's where it ends up because that's where it's all at now. But we ended up getting really hooked down on it here at the Johnson House. Love that show. It's great. Maybe my favorite DC cartoon just behind the Batman of the 90s stuff. And one of the reasons it's great is Aqualad is awesome. And it's the stupidest character from the DC comics. Like the worst sidekicky era. Everyone had to have a sidekick, Aqualad. And, you know, everyone was a boy or a lad. And they were all super annoying. And you know, Robin's kind of one of those. But you sort of accept Robin and his incarnations. And he kind of becomes cool when Dick Grayson becomes Nightwing and all of that. But this is a guy that should be dumb no matter how you present him. And he is the coolest character in this show. So if you haven't seen it, go to Netflix, watch the entire thing that's there, and then you'll realize why it's a big deal they're getting a third season. I'm super excited.
Is it animated?
Or second season. Is it second season, third season, fourth season?
I have to check it out.
This will be the third season.
Third season, all right. So there's only two up there. It is animated, yes. And it's very much that, you know, Justice League style sort of style, whatever, I don't even know what to call that, but the kind of modern DC animated stuff that you see, not quite on par with the straight to DVD movies they do, the animated films they do, but a little below that in terms of quality or frames of animation or whatever. But the the stories are really great. They have really great cameos from other characters. These guys have to work with the existing Justice League, so sometimes they're getting reprimanded by Batman himself, who's trying to tell them they did this thing wrong. But it's like all of the, it sounds bad, like, oh, all the teenagers in the DC universe are all fighting crime, and it sounds bad, but it's not. It's great, and y'all should watch it. That's all I had to say about that. Oh, and The Expanse is awesome, and I can't wait for The Expanse season two. That was the other thing.
I have to start watching that. I've only heard Scott talk about it. I've never actually, I don't know anyone else that's seen it, but I need to check that out.
Well, let Tom's voice be in chorus with mine as we both.
Absolutely. Yeah, 100%. Loved the books and was super excited for the show no matter what. And not only is it true to the books, but they're just kicking ass on the production of it, so that even if you haven't read the books, you're going to enjoy it. It's I've seen it described as Battlestar Galactica meets Game of Thrones, and that's not far off.
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, and the books are great. I'm not as fast as Tom, but I'm like middle of book two, loving every second of it, and people should check it out. The Expanse season one is also on Netflix now, so get over there. Yep.
Finally, a developer named Brian Kane has taken the 2000-era Talking Billy Bass. Remember that?
Yep.
Recently on Last Man on Earth, it was featured. Hacked it with an Amazon Echo. So Alexa speaks through the bass's mouth when you ask a question.
Oh, my Lord.
I love that thing. I want that.
So wait a minute. So this is that stupid fish on the wall electric thing. It sings and wiggles and... And these hacked it with this Amazon Echo. It's kind of amazing. Who needs the Amazon Dot, Tom, when you can just go get yourself a...
Well, I'm wondering if it's the Dot that he used, right?
Oh, yeah, good point. Because that's probably all he's done, right? Is jam the guts into an existing Billy Bass, and boom, there's your Echo. We're not going to say the name
of it.
You
got to get it to flip out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, react to the voice recognition the way Billy Bass did.
Can you say, play me the Foo Fighters, and it will just sort of dance to the Foo Fighters and play it out of its mouth?
Oh, it'll like Teddy Ruxpin of the 2016s.
Oh, my Lord.
I used to put Metallica tapes in the back of the Teddy Ruxpin.
There you go. See?
And so it would sing, and the voice would go, not the voice, the mouth would go and everything. Scott's laughing like he doesn't know what I'm talking about.
No, I know what you mean. I just can't believe you put some freaking Metallica in your Teddy Ruxpin, because it was just a tape player, right?
Wasn't
that the deal?
And it would move with the music. The what do you call it? The mouth would move. So
after
I would.
The puppets have fallen astray.
Yes, exactly.
That's beautiful.
That is the most metal thing I've heard.
I feel like this Billy Bass Alex. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I can't say it around her. She gets.
I know. No. You're good, and our listeners appreciate it. Our listeners appreciate it.
Excited or what?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll say it in the middle of a YouTube video. Like I'll just be unboxing something. I'll just go, Alexa. And then people are like, why'd you do that, man? Like in the comments, my thing lit up.
Now we'll get emails after you said it right then. But that's okay.
I didn't understand what you said, Joey.
Well, big thanks, everybody, for stories, most of which were submitted and voted upon in our subreddit. Tom, who are some of these fine people this week?
Oh, yeah. We got good stuff from Atomic Space Gun, another Jay Martin, I Am Sci-Fi, and C. Cadenhead, all submitting at currentgeek.reddit.com. Go submit and vote.
All right. We take a little time every show and we talk to our guests about some of the stuff they're up to. Martin, let's start with you. What are you doing these days? And I want to hear more about your actual wrestling stuff. I may have to make an appearance since you're a local. Tell people more about what you're up to.
You better show up tomorrow. I started two businesses. I'm in the most recent Adam Sandler movie coming out next year. I'm wrestling Terry Crews on it.
Oh.
Do you guys know Terry Crews?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah, man.
This is a Netflix movie, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they're old pals from back in the, what was the football movie they remade? The Burt Reynolds movie?
Longest Yard.
Yeah.
Longest Yard,
because he was in that as well. He always had the cheeseburgers, I remember. That's super cool. Was that intimidating? I hear he's like the nicest guy ever. Is that true?
He is the super nicest guy ever. I love that guy. He gave me his cell phone number. We're talking, so we'll see what happens. And
that's awesome.
Hopefully, he can help me get connected and get in more movies. Maybe
that's great. That's super cool. Where do you reside online? Are you using Twitter and all that stuff?
Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all at Martin Casaus. Casaus.
Yeah.
It's all the same. Yeah. Or you look up Marty the Moth and the right name comes up. It doesn't even have to say it that way.
Nice. Well, go check out more. I'm on your Wikipedia page right now, and there's a ton of cool stuff here. And he's in Utah, so Utah connection, brothers forever. I'm just trying to make up for calling his name wrong. Joey.
Johnson.
Yes.
You want to look him up online.
Johnson. Joey Image, an easy name for me to remember anyway. Yes. Tell people more about what you're up to these days.
I'm just up to YouTube. I think that's about it. I'm up to about 260. I think that's 40 pounds from when I retired, which was June of 2015. It's awful.
Wow.
That's why the camera's up so high, so you can't see me from the boobs down.
Clever.
I'm doing the YouTube thing now. A lot of, the YouTube thing, the podcasting thing, I don't know what else. I think that's really it.
So on the YouTube channel, I know you do a lot of unboxings and stuff.
Yeah.
That's great.
Unboxings. I added Road Rage stuff recently, which people seem to like, and it's not for kids, but people like it. Yeah. I bought a dash cam. So here's my dilemma. I would drive, people in New Jersey drive like they're blind. So all of them, including myself. So they drive and then something stupid happens and I pull over and I scream and rant about it. A lot of expletive stuff, whatever the word is.
Yeah.
Stuff I can't say now.
No, I like expletives. So, expletives are hard. That's hard. That's
I don't know. I don't even know what the word really is.
I think you mean expletives, so, but yes.
Yeah.
All right. That's whatever. There's nothing on the YouTube opposite surprises me, and the idea of a burly ex-wrestler chewing people out for their terrible driving habits seems about like a YouTube thing that would do well.
I had never seen it. I've seen people do, you know, here and there, like during vlogs or whatever. But I'd never seen just a strict like series of road rage. So that's what I'm doing part of the
so
stuff.
So you show the event that happened and then rant, or is it just the rant?
No. Well, now I should say then when I first started doing this, it was just the aftermath because I would use my phone is my Apple Music. So when I'm in the car, I have that going. So I couldn't ever show you what happened. I would just scream and yell and rant about it like a lunatic, you know, Italian from Jersey, which I am. Yeah. So I spoke to a company called Vantrue who sent me a dash cam as a review unit.
Nice.
So now I got I have a dash cam running 24/7, or well, just when I'm in the car, actually, not all the time. But of course, coincidentally, now nothing's happened since I got the dash cam. So now you can actually see what, if anything ever happens again, you'll actually be able to see it while it
makes happening. You wonder if all those other incidents actually happened.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, I never thought
of it. You're like,
I assure you they did.
You're like a Russian, man.
Reality TV.
Yeah, no kidding. Ask yourselves if you're... I don't know. I need to check. I don't know why I haven't seen those. I need to check those out. They sound entertaining to me, so I will. What's your YouTube channel so people can go there?
YouTube.com/JoeyImage.
Oh, nice.
ProWrestlingTees.com/JoeyImage.
Nice.
JoeyImage on Twitter. Facebook.com/RealJoeyImage.
All that stuff.
I don't know. I'm doing some stuff in the wrestling thing, but I'm doing all behind the scenes stuff now. I'm doing a little bit of booking, a little bit of writing storylines.
Maybe we'll see it in Nerdtacular next year. That'd be fun again.
I'll be there. I'm already looking for I've already called Snowbird, actually. They told me call back in January. It's too soon.
That's what they do. I know.
Yeah.
They don't want
to. But yeah, I will be there. I'm hoping to do the Grumpy Cast. I forgot all about.
Oh yeah, you're on the show called the Grumpy Cast, right? Yeah, you and Daryl Skeels doing the Grumpy Cast every week.
Yeah, Skeels will pay the bills, man.
That's right.
Hopefully we could do another live one next year, so I'll be there in June.
All right.
You got to get Martin up to Snowbird, too. He's local.
Yeah, he's local.
Yeah. Last year there was, he had a show for UCW Zero on that Saturday of Nerdtacular, but I was at Night Attack at like 11 o'clock that night, so I wasn't able to go.
Yeah. Maybe we'll get him out
there. Yeah, so we're hoping to do a live what's it called next year again? Grumpy Cast.
Sure.
So
maybe
we just started doing Facebook Live for that. I just figured out how to get it going. So every Tuesday night we record, we do Facebook Live, then Daryl does get it and uploads the podcast version, the audio version.
Sure.
But every Tuesday night, there's a new page too, facebook.com/grumpycast.
Nice. So check that out. Nice. Up in Nerdtacular, you guys should do like an exhibition match and sell your wrestling shirts or something at the end.
Just don't kill me.
Underwear.
I've already got a broken neck.
Just don't wash them, Martin.
Cash in on that underwear.
Yeah, make sure they're dirty. All right. Well, I appreciate that. It's always good to hear what our guests are up to. Real quick here, if you'd like the show and you want to support the show, Tom and I have a way for people to do that. And it's very exclusive to the show. We don't do this anywhere else on the network, either with what I do or any of the stuff Tom does. It is the Current Geek Loot Box. Loot Crate is really what it's called. Really, it's called a Crate Joy. And the reason we call it that is because that's what it is. So if you go to frogpants.cratejoy.com, you can get one. And it's full of stuff. Tom's holding up some of those items now. Shot glasses, phone rechargers, USB keys, or what do you USB drives is what I meant to say.
You can't see them from here, but I've got some prints on my wall. There's actually two unboxings of that on my YouTube.
That's right. He's done unboxings on YouTube. That is correct. There's always something good in there. The artwork is cool that we put in there. Tom puts in like writings and books and excerpts and all kinds of stuff we create, things we bring in, stuff guests provide. It's awesome. So check it out if you are interested in supporting the show. It is the way we keep the lights on. Frogpants.cratejoy.com. Check it out today. It's time for the prop quiz.
America scores and wins.
Or the pop quiz, not the prop quiz.
We should do a prop quiz where we just Bill hold Durant? Our props.
Yeah, prop quiz. Oh, oh yeah, Bill could do it. That'd be great.
You could build Durant on.
Hey, yeah, totally. What's great about the pop quiz is this is a chance for me and you guys to do a little questions. We ask our guests in areas of their expertise questions that they would only know. You probably neither know what your topics are because Hammond, who booked you as guests, came up with these. I don't know how much he tells you ahead of time.
Nothing.
Okay.
He told me the time and the date, and that's it.
That's it, eh? Well,
it's all you need to know is what happens.
We're going to start with Martin. The way this works is I'll ask you questions. You'll answer them if you get it right. If you get them wrong, and the entire time, Tom keeps score. Sometimes that score is a little strange. You'll see as we go how that works. And you guys can compete with each other at the end as to who got the better score. Martin, here's your category. It is the Animaniacs.
Oh, man.
Animaniacs.
I love them.
Oh, good.
I just don't remember damn from it.
I do, too. It was a hell of a cartoon, and I miss it, but here's our chance to relive it. Here's your first question. What year did Animaniacs premiere? The only hint I have for you is that you were young. That's all I'll say.
Right.
He's still young, Scott.
He's still very young. Yeah.
31 years young, baby. 91?
Let's check with the judges. The correct answer is 1993.
Oh, so he gets 0.8. He gets 8 tenths of a point.
Actually surprised me. I would have said earlier, too, because I always think of 93 as the year of Jurassic Park, and it feels like that's a dividing line in films and TV and media for me, and it's anything that came before Jurassic Park and everything that came after. And it just feels like Animaniacs is older than that. So I don't blame you for your answer. Next question. Who provided the voice of Yakko, Pinko, and Dr. Otto von Scratch and Sniff?
I remember what they look like. That about sums up what I know about this topic.
All right.
I'm going to go with Joey Image. Joey Image definitely is the one.
All right. Let me check for the judges. Maybe that's right. I don't know. Let's see. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, no, that's incorrect.
You did it anyway.
I'm sorry. I have to award you a full point because he did play the correct sound.
I hit the wrong key. Gosh dang it. All right. The answer is Rob Paulsen, but it's the right one for you. All right. Next question. Who was the supervising music composer for Animaniacs? Who would know this?
No one.
Right?
We don't write these.
I only really know a couple of John Williams.
Let's find out if you're right. I'm sorry, that is incorrect. It is Richard Stone, whoever that is. I'm sure he's great.
You're gonna have a point, though, because John Williams should have been.
I agree.
He was a Superman guy, right, John Williams?
Yeah.
And Zimmer was
Star Wars.
Yeah. Star Wars the original. No, not Trek. That was, what's his name? Who am I thinking of? Jerry Goldsmith.
Darryl,
I'm thinking of.
Darryl Skill.
Next to the last question. How many seasons of the Animaniacs were there?
Four
of those. Let's find out. Oh, so close. It was five. So close,
right.
Man.
Bob Saget.
So 3/4 of a point then.
Wait, did you say Bob Saget?
It's Utah Swearing.
That's awesome. I haven't heard that in years, but you're right. It totally is Utah Swearing. Oh my gosh. That brought back some memories. That was awesome. All right. Final question. What network did Animaniacs originally air on?
Wasn't it WB Network?
Let's find out. Fox Kids. That was before I think that's before the WB existed, so it would have been the WB Network.
Well, it was back in the UPN WB days, but yeah, I guess it wasn't on there.
Yeah, weird.
Huh. Yeah, I thought it came out of the UP, like the WB
Tower. Yeah, yeah.
It was definitely a Warner Brothers gig, because the whole point was you had the Warner Brothers lot, and the characters lived on that lot, and they were like these ancient characters created there and all that. So I don't know why it was on Fox Kids. That's really strange to me. I guess it's like DC putting their stuff on like 5 channels. So it's probably the same thing.
Yeah,
all right. I think you did pretty well considering those questions. Hang tight, though, because Joey is now going to display his prowess as a trivia answer person. Joey, your topic is World of Warcraft lore. World of Warcraft lore, sir.
I'm the only person I know that's been playing since vanilla beta, doesn't know anything. I have the Chronicle books, I have a million books, and I don't know anything.
You are not prepared.
Yeah, you may not be prepared, says Illidan Stormrage. Here's your first question. Who was the master of the orcish internment camp, Dernhold Keep?
Darn hold key.
Corona.
Every answer for you is going to be Corona, isn't it? I'm just thinking it might be.
I just watched the movie again yesterday.
That is incorrect. It is Aedilus Blackmore. I'm not probably saying that. Aedilus Blackmore.
Aedilus.
Obviously.
I wouldn't know this
I
one.
I can't go by Scott's pronunciation. They're all incorrect.
I know. You can't count on me. I can't even say Martin's name. Here's number next question. Who was King Varian's wife? Sorry. Who was King Varian's wife who was killed during the riots after Stormwind refused to pay the Stonemasons Guild for helping rebuild the city? So this would have been post Cataclysm.
Mrs. Wren.
Yeah, I was going to say it must be killed during riots. I don't remember riot. I don't know. Hillary Clinton.
Incorrect. Incorrect. The answer is Tiffin Wren. Tiffin.
Yeah, half point.
Yeah.
Wait, is it topical half point or what? Know,
involving riots.
And yeah. Look at a little half point for that. All right. Next up. What pit lord do Thrall and Grom, that's Grom Hellscream, defeat to free the Horde from the Fel corruption? You should know this one.
Oh, no. I do know this one. This is...
And this would have been... This is pre-Warlords, because in Warlords that changed.
That, right, but this was somehow movie-related. Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, I'll do it one more time. You ready? Here it goes. Which pit lord, so it's a name of a pit lord, they're my favorite things in the game, do Thrall and Grom Hellscream defeat to free the Horde from the Fel corruption?
You're just thinking of the movie.
I am. I'm like, it was Durtan, but I'm not... No, it was... I don't remember. Durtan, I don't know.
Durtan, let's say Durtan. That is incorrect. Durtan's actually Thrall's father. The answer is Manoroth. Manoroth.
Oh, maybe I didn't know that at all.
Because remember, what's his name wants everyone to drink the blood of Manoroth and all that. Anyway.
I'm going to give you a quarter point, though, because Scott was like, kind of goaded you into saying the wrong answer anyway.
I wouldn't have
gotten it. Durtan, Durtan. Okay, we're going to say Durtan.
Right, we'll say Durtan. Sure, why not? Second to final question. Who is the father of Onyxia?
Deathwing.
Oh, look at this. Very well done, sir. Deathwing is the correct answer. And he was much nicer back in the day. Show us.
That one somehow I knew like that.
Yeah, well done.
In fact, you get a half point speed bonus for that, too.
Okay, final question. Who originally created the Lich King? This is a guy that we're looking forward to. The hint is Blizzard. We're looking forward to fighting. Yeah, Blizzard. Chris Metzen. It's a guy we're about to fight. Coming up soon, probably, we think.
It's not Uther, right? The first paladin. Uther.
All right. Uther the Lightbringer says Joey Image. Let's find out. That is incorrect. Uther is a nice guy. He wouldn't make the Lich King. The answer is Kil'jaeden. Kil'jaeden. He is a demon lord and the biggest and the baddest, and we hope to fight
him. He's in like the sunrise area or sun something or other.
Well, right now.
We're also going to give you a half point because Scott just chided you. Ooh, there's a nice guy.
I did. I kind of did do that. He's very fatherly, but Kil'jaeden's a jerk, and he's in, I think, we think we're going to see him in the Tomb of Sargeras patch, which is 7.3 or whatever.
Yeah.
So we think we're going to fight him soon.
Will Smith's least favorite character in Warcraft
was Kil'jaeden. Yeah, exactly. Kil'jaeden. Because nobody wants to Kil'jaeden. Well, anyway. Hey, let's end that game. Tom, they've done all they can for their questions. How did they do?
They ended up within a razor-thin margin of each other. Joey with 2.75. Martin with 3.05.
The new guy. 3.05. Nice.
Yeah, for the button accidental push. Yeah. I just want to let you guys know, you thing was Warcraft, and he's got a Warcraft picture right behind him right there. Throwing it out there.
Yep. You'd think he was cheating, but
now
we've learned different. Well done, though.
I don't see any Animaniacs posters behind Martin. That's all he's saying, right?
All I see is a dark night, because it turned night while we've been talking.
Yeah, it did.
He's here in Salt Lake City. All right. Let's jump into this right here.
The future promises even more startling things to come.
This is a part of the show we call Forecast. It is spelled F-O-U-R because the four of us get to talk about a thing that we predict in the future. Sometimes it's about technology, entertainment, whatever. There are no rules. Joey added one today, and I think it's a good one. Joey, you want to tell us what it is?
Oh, Sure.
I can read it if you want me to. You want me to read it?
Yeah, I don't have show notes open.
Oh, okay. No worries about it. He wrote here, Sega will see the popularity of Nintendo's NES Classic and hopefully release a new updated HDMI-capable Dreamcast. Now, do you think they would start there, or would we get a little tiny Genesis? That probably already exists.
Oh. There already is one, I believe.
Yeah, they've got that.
That's why I didn't say that, yeah.
Oh, interesting. Well, here's the problem. The Dreamcast, despite the fact that it came out in late 99 in Japan, early aughts here, is still a pretty capable device that I don't know if they could get away for selling for the price range of 50. Now, if you're telling me they could put a Dreamcast emulated box out now for 100, sure, I could see that. And I would buy it in a heartbeat. I'd love the Dreamcast.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I still have three working Dreamcasts, and I would buy a new one.
They're the best, dude. It was a great console.
Yeah, I love mine.
It was really fun. Would you, Martin, would you plunk down the hard green to get one of these?
I still have my old working one, so maybe I would. I got to remind myself of the games, though. Yeah. Sonic was pretty fun.
You guys with your consoles that you keep, I end up selling them, or I used to anyway, and I would move on to the next one. I've had them all, but I always sell the one I just had and then get the new one. And I'm now irritated. I wish I had them all. I'm sad that I sold them.
Yeah, man, I don't get rid of anything. I'm still rocking my baseball.
Oh, my gosh,
I just
bought
a Game Boy for $5 a couple days ago. A ColecoVision also for $5.
Listen, for people at home.
I bought my original Power Rangers and Ninja Turtles.
Nice. Zord. All power to Zord. Tom just did a thing that he always does. Somehow within his reach, he has access to many, many things. And who would have guessed he has one of those old, like, is it Coleco or is it, what's the brand?
This one's Mattel.
Mattel Baseball.
Mattel Baseball 2.
With the little dots of lights. It's like barely baseball. It's amazing.
I've got one of my Dreamcasts here. I've got three of them.
I never had a black one.
Look at
one.
You.
I always wanted the black one, man. I always wanted the black one.
Me too. This is the Sega Sports one. It had the Sega Sports logo. My fiance somehow figured out how to get rid of the logo.
Yeah.
The Sega Sports logo is now which is the Dreamcast logo.
2K Football was good.
I've got a Coleco behind me.
That's great.
Did you ever play GoldenEye on Nintendo 64?
Oh, yes. That's still hooked up to mine as
well. So good. Yeah.
You guys are nerds. This is
great. The coolest thing about 64 is the wrestling games from Japan, because there were no copyrights. So, like, for $20, you buy the little adapter that plugs into the U.S. one, and on the top of it, it's got the Japanese port plug in it. So you buy the Japanese games, and there's every guy from every company is in every game, because there's no copyrights. There wasn't at the time, I guess, in Japan, so it's great.
So what did that mean? You just had every possible wrestler worldwide known wrestler
from New Japan, from All Japan, from Big Japan. These are all companies in Japan that obviously were not U.S.-based, but you had those guys with U.S. guys in the same games that would never happen in this country because of copyright and licensing laws.
Over there,
they just don't care about anything. They do whatever they want, and worked out great for us.
Why do you guys think, and maybe Martin, I'll ask you this, why do you think that there's never been a proper luchador-style wrestling game? Unlike a mainstream console, it seems like there's so many cool roots there with wrestling, and it would be such a fun take on wrestling video games. And yet, we never see sort of a Mexican style, luchador style wrestling game.
Isn't there one?
There's been like AAA games and stuff like that, but have you ever seen a really cool Mexican game? Period.
No. That's a really good point. I mean, they're starting to do a lot of sort of like companies are subbing out certain parts of game development to Mexico. It's starting to become an emerging market for animation studios and a company that will build all your terrain for you, but otherwise the games develop in the U.S. or in Montreal or somewhere else. So you're seeing a lot of that, but you're right, you're not seeing a lot of original finished sort of IPs come out of there. And you're right, I guess like some of these bigger wrestling games, you'll say, all right, I've got, here's The Rock and here's Triple H. And then if you want, you can put a luchador mask on him and there you go. But like a proper one where it's like, you know, the real rosters and they're fighting in like these little rings down in Mexico and working their way up to Mexico City. And I just think that would be really fun. I would pay to play. That's all I'm saying.
I really would think another Lucha Underground game.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. Isn't that in the works?
Maybe.
I hear so many things. I doubt that's in the works yet until got a while. So they're still trying to figure out merchandise. Right. They just barely put an Aztec Pride shirt out like a week ago or something like that.
I dig that hoodie you're wearing. I got to get one of them hoodies. That's pretty nice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, there's that. Big thanks for that. We got an email, too, and they come to us at currentgeek@gmail.com. This comes from Coco Foco.
Nice name.
Yeah, pretty good. Says, hey, guys. Like, he says, hey, guys, how is it that Marvel somehow made Doctor Strange good? My mind is blown, says Coco Foco.
I'm trying to unpack this question. Does he imply that Marvel doesn't make things good, or that Doctor Strange was bad, or both?
I think he's got a... This is my take. I could be wrong, but I think a lot of people are surprised whenever Marvel can do something like Guardians of the Galaxy, or in this case, Doctor Strange, or even Ant-Man, where a relatively B-level obscure character from the Marvel Universe is so well represented and successful on screen, and it seems by most standards, be they reviews or yeah, word of mouth, it seems like Doctor Strange somehow nailed it and was otherwise considered this very weird 70s psychedelic strange offshoot. I think that's what he means.
No, you're probably right. I guess that's why I'm so confused, is like Guardians of the Galaxy was a much bigger stretch to make good. Ant-Man too, probably. Doctor Strange goes back to the silver era, though, so there you got lots to work with, and it's something that a lot of people really loved.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. When I think about what made Guardians good, sure, once you've made it, or once Gunn had his idea and thought, you know what, we just need to do here is make a good space adventure game. And we'll make it so that people will be able to accept a talking raccoon and a tree and the other things that are in that movie. We'll get there, but we just have to be able to build kind of a little Star Wars adventure around it in a way. And then once you see, you go, oh, well, of course, that's how that works. It's, you know, if you kind of reverse engineer it, you can kind of see why that movie works for so many audiences, and it makes sense. But ahead of time, I would have had a really hard time explaining how you were going to ever make Guardians work. It just would have seemed too out there, and yet they pulled it off. So maybe we shouldn't be surprised about this at all, Coco Foco, if that is your real name.
It is.
Maybe this should be, at this point, we should just accept that Marvel has figured this out. They know how to take, you know, weird stuff and make it work. And I, for one, am really glad. I haven't seen it yet, so I can't speak to it, but I'm going this weekend, and I want to see just how strange Doctor Strange is, and pretty excited about it. Have anybody here seen it? Somebody's seen it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? You saw it?
Yeah.
I'm the only one of the four, huh? Okay. Wow. Go see it. It's worth it.
Yeah, you liked it. You liked it. All right.
Yeah. I like movies. I have a hard time not liking movies. I'll always find something I like. The thing I could say about Doctor Strange is I didn't have to find something I liked. The movie was over, and I had never sat there thinking like, oh, I can't wait till we get back to something interesting. Like, it just kept me the whole way through.
Wow, that's great.
What do you think about Suicide Squad? Did you ever see Suicide Squad?
I didn't. I haven't seen it yet.
Me neither. I got put off by so bad by reviews and stuff, it freaked me out. Not just reviews like national ones, but like friends were telling me not to do it or to wait or whatever. So I didn't. And now I'm kind of sad I didn't, because I feel like maybe I would have enjoyed it more in the theater. I don't know. But I keep...
You know what you got to see?
Hmm.
Warcraft in 4K.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I'll bet.
I love it. I have two 4K TVs, and I, nice. I watch them on both of them. It's great, dude.
You have a lot of redundancy in your life. Like, you're like a Klingon body, where they have two hearts and like three livers and stuff. That's amazing.
Three livers would be amazing. I would have went to college if I had three livers.
I mean, I didn't used to...
Oh, to be Klingon.
I mean, it's just so if one gets stabbed, the other ones kick in, right? So if your 4K TV takes a big dent, you'll be all set. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
No, that's great. One of these days, I do need to talk to you about why you have so much of the same things. Like hard drives we used to tease you about. Now I got new stuff.
Well, you still can. I just got another 5 terabyte a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, my Lord.
I'm with you, man. You know, we've had this conversation.
Yeah. There's something about storage in general that I don't know what it is. Yeah.
You never have too much.
Yeah.
I don't even mean computer-wise. I just mean in general. I have shelves on my ceiling in here. You can't even see, but there's shelves behind me with Amiibos all over them right there.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Just storage. I don't know what my deal is. I have a closet back there with a bunch of toys. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you're a nerd. It's fine. You got to have a place to put your nerd
stuff.
Good. I totally get it. Well, that's going to do it for the email. Thank you again for that, Coco Foco. I just love saying that name. CurrentGeek@gmail.com is that email address. And that brings us to the end of today's program. Oh, my gosh. I've never had so much fun with wrestlers before. Before we go, I want to pass it around and not only give my thanks, but let you guys have one more chance to say where people can find you online. Martin, where's the best place for people to go online and find more about you?
Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Martin Casaus, MARTINCASAUS. Go to my prowrestlingtees.com/Martin Casaus store and get the crazy shirt that just came out.
That's sweet, dude. Who are you matching up again or against this weekend? Who's the big guy? Who's the dude? Who are you fighting?
I got one of the great wrestlers out here in Salt Lake, Jason Jackson, 1-on-1 this weekend. And I got Colorado Springs on Sunday against a guy named Royce Isaacs. He's doing some big things. Nice. I'm excited to kick him both in the face really hard.
Sweet. You can give him that cold you got. See if they just keep passing.
Right, it's going to have to be because I have no wind at all. I get tired walking up the stairs right now. So wrestling is going to be way fun.
Yeah.
Just come out and sneeze on them and they fall down.
There you go. I like it. Patient Zero. This should be your new wrestling name. Joey, tell people where they can find you one more time so they can find out where you're at.
Twitter.com/JoeyImage, Facebook.com/RealJoeyImage, and ProWrestlingTees.com/JoeyImage.
Nice. Go check those out. Thank you both for being here. You were awesome guests.
Thank you.
Tom Merritt.
Absolutely.
Anything you would like to add, sir, before we go?
Nothing much. If you want to find out more of the stuff I'm up to, go to TomMerritt.com. It's 2 R's, 2 T's.
2 R's, 2 T's. You heard it here first.
2 M's.
Yeah.
2 M's. 1 M or 2 M's?
There's an M on Tom and an M on Merritt. So, yeah, there's 2 M's when you run. That's a good point.
That's good. That's going to do it for us. Thank you guys all for listening. Don't forget, currentgeek.com is our website. Our Reddit is currentgeek.reddit.com. Upvote those stories, everybody. Currentgeek@gmail.com is the email address for me, for Tom, and for our guests. We'll see you next time.
Hi, and welcome back to Legal Geek. This week, we review a trademark infringement lawsuit filed by Lucasfilm against an independent California man running a Jedi training academy. Obviously, Star Wars is back in the spotlight again, with movies once again being brought out thanks to Disney, and the Disney parks and cruise ships fully incorporating the droids and all the rest for their guests. Indeed, most of us are likely thrilled at the prospect of seeing one of the best villains in movie history, Darth Vader, return in the upcoming Rogue One. However, fandom does have its limits thanks to things like intellectual property. One California enthusiast, Michael Brown, may have gone a bit too far by opening a business working under the names New York Jedi and Lightsaber Academy. Yes, this business actually offers classes to teach you how to fight with a lightsaber, just like the Jedi of the Star Wars universe. And that, as it turns out, is not copacetic with the owners of the various Star Wars trademarks. Lucasfilm filed a complaint this month against Brown, alleging trademark infringement, cyber squatting, and unfair competition, among other things. As to the merits of the lawsuit, Lucasfilm and Disney own a number of federal trademark registrations on various Star Wars marks, including Jedi Training Academy, Jedi, Lightsaber, and even May the 4th be with you. Yes, I mean the pun about a date in May, not the Force line. Regardless, these registrations on the marks, which this business is now using, are covering goods and services, including clothing and entertainment services. This is likely broad enough to cover the defendant's activities, as he apparently sells shirts, and the classes could be broadly considered entertainment services. As such, Lucasfilm appears to have a favorable chance to win this case. Lucasfilm also won a similar case against a software company using a Jedi mark in 2010. I expect a similar result and likely settlement here. How did Brown's business get singled out for a lawsuit? For one, the business is apparently very popular and successful. Likewise, he has asked for a license to use these marks numerous times, and Lucasfilm has denied these requests. Thus, he knew he was likely going too far, and refused to avoid Lucasfilm's rights anyway, even after they turned down requests for a license. The bottom line is, Brown should have likely changed the names to something similar that gets the same point across without using the names and terms covered by the trademarks. This is another example of why fans and businesses need to be extra careful when using names in commerce which may be owned by other parties, as doing so can totally tank a successful business if a lawsuit happens. And for goodness sake, always, always, always respect the rights or design around an IP owner who refuses a license to you. Thanks for listening. Please provide feedback and segment suggestions to me on Twitter at BuckeyeFitzy.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.